You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Providers are complaining the cost of living, cost of providing disability support services is rising while funding is staying the same. This comes despite $72 million being provided in the government's budget for growing demand and pay equity obligations in the sector. A huge increase in demand and an increase in costs has left providers having to make tough choices around the services they are able to give and the number of people they can help. I spoke with Chief Executive of the New Zealand Disability Support Network, Garth Benny, about the funding, asking him first how the funding model works for organisations like his.
Okay, so access to services is managed through what are called the Needs Assessment Service Coordinating Agencies, or NASCs. There's a dozen or more of them around the country, and they're contracted by the Ministry of Health to manage access to services. The Ministry of Health also has directly contracts with a large number of mostly NGO, not-for-profit providers to provide support, a whole range of support services for disabled people and their families across the country.
And is the funding the government provides at the moment enough for your organisation to do the work it needs to do?
Well, the short answer to that question is no. And there are two elements to that. One is the actual price that the Ministry of Health pays to providers to provide the service. So there's been a rising gap between the cost of providing those services and the funding that's available, and that cost is, that gap has been rising steadily, and we estimate that that's now about a 15% gap, which is about a $200 million shortfall each year. And providers are really feeling the pinch around that in a whole raft of different ways. The other element is that the access to services can be managed by the Ministry of Health through those NASC agencies by delaying referrals or by creating a mismatch between the support that's needed and the support that's actually allocated, the hours that are actually allocated. Now, the government has already promised not to cut things in that area, but we know that they still have a shortfall this coming financial year. And so at some point, they're going to have to manage access to services in some way.
And the government did allocate $72 million extra dollars per year for disability services. Is this helping sort of bridge this gap in funding?
Well, it's not really bridging a gap, because it's actually $7 million less than they actually spent last year. So all that $72 million is doing is going some of the way towards meeting the demand for services that is already there.
So it's not enough then, really.
It's not enough. It's not enough to meet. So there's two areas. There's not enough funding to meet the demand for the growth in services, and there's not enough money to bridge the gap between the cost of providing those services and the actual funding that's provided to providers.
And what does it mean for organisations like yours and the people you help if this funding doesn't increase?
Well, for organisations directly providing services, what it means is that there's less money to do more as costs rise and demand for services grows. And these added pressures leave providers with very difficult choices. Many are now considering their viability and just how solvent their organisations actually are. The whole system is quite broken and unsustainable as it currently is. And some organisations that are facing really acute funding problems will now have to think very seriously about whether they can even continue to accept new people. And that will impact the lives of all disabled people and their families as providers have to spread the available resource more thinly. That ultimately will compromise quality and safety, particularly for those with higher support needs.
Does this mean, if there's a lack of government funding, that disabled people need to, do they have to make up the shortfall themselves, or how does this work? Or does the organisation just kind of absorb the cost?
Well, up until now, the organisations have been absorbing the costs, but now they're saying quite clearly, we just can't keep doing this. And so they will have to make some decisions about whether it's appropriate for them to take on new clients. So while the Ministry has already said that there won't be any cuts, the risks and burdens of an inadequate budget are now shifted directly to providers who have to make a shrinking resource go further. And at some point during the course of the financial year in front of us, the government is going to have to manage access to services, because there's still a gap between the known demand and the extra funding that's been provided in the budget. So there just isn't enough to go around in terms of demand. And some of the new trials, regional trials, that the government has been working on over the last 4 to 5 years, and now particularly in the mid-central area of the North Island, all of those trials are demonstrating that there's somewhere in the vicinity of about a 25% additional people who are completely outside the system. These are disabled people and families who need and are eligible for disability support services but don't have access to the system at all. So the system as a whole is broken in a number of different ways. And collectively, that's making life very difficult for providers, but it's also making life very difficult for disabled people and families as they try and access a system that is stretched beyond breaking point.
And you sort of touched on this before, but this kind of lack of funding has been a problem for quite a few years. Why do you think successive governments have not put the money that's needed into this sector?
Well, I think we're not alone in the health system, in the health and disability system, in terms of growing gaps between demand and supply of services, and growing gaps between the cost of services and the funding available. It's a development that's occurred over about a decade. What we do know is that the current system has become very, very effective and efficient at suppressing and hiding need. And these new regional trials are exposing just what the true level of those that need is. And I think it's been assumed that up until now, providers have just been able to absorb costs. We're well beyond that now. And I think the government realises that. Solutions are needed. We're willing to work with them on those solutions, but solutions within the current financial constraints are only going to get us so far. We can't really solve this problem without some significant amounts of additional funding.
Because have organisations like yours been approached by the government to try and get a solution or get your input on what needs to be done?
So while our patience is running out and we want to see some tangible progress, we remain committed to some constructive discussions with officials. They want to find a solution. We want to find a solution. I think if government thinks it can find those solutions within the existing financial constraints, then that's completely naive. We can only get so far. And with the extra funding and
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.